time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Viva Las Vegas. And my voice is like half out.
So I can't believe you sang it.
That was a struggle. We did struggle in Vegas, but we're back. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Shout out to our friends at Circus Sports. That was a lot of fun.
It really was. And I need to go back, but I don't. It's the same kind of Vegas come down I generally have where I'm like, that was fun. Do I ever want to go to this city again? Weeks from now, yes.
Weeks, yeah.
Right now?
A mere weeks. We're Vegased out. We were able to stay. Circa was fun. It's an old Vegas, Fremont Street,
yes.
Which I had never stayed in old Vegas. I had obviously gone three times before, always stayed on the Strip. This was different. This was a more, shall we say, hometown vibe. But I liked it. It was more accessible. It was easier to walk. Very, very walkable, very fun. And we were with a great group, our friends from the Wheelhouse. We had a fun dinner at Barry's Steakhouse. We got to know some of the folks there that run the place. And overall, just the stadium swim experience, insanely cool.
Yeah, it was great. It's a nice way to get like the last fun weekend in before, you know, for us. We have extended weekends now because we have to watch football. Oh, it's so hard. A full Saturday and a full Sunday. So, yeah, we had a good time. It's definitely good to be back, although feel like, you know, it's like they're trying to get us to sweat out the toxins.
They are, yeah. It's very, very hot in the studio. Apparently the
here.
AC isn't working, so if I faint during the break, you know what's happening. But I have a question for our audience, and I'm wondering, actually, Sean, this would be a good question for Sean Mapes. How many fights do you think I stopped Paul Gallant from getting in Vegas on one night?
One night, okay. I was going to ask how, like, the entire weekend.
Let's
from the airport to airport. Okay, one night. I'm going to go three.
It's the exact number.
You know both
of us very well.
And here's the thing, though. In my defense.
And one was a woman.
In my defense, I did nothing wrong. Some people said, hey, Paul, I mean, who's the commonality with all three of these situations
you almost
got yourself in? The first happened because, listen. Dancing up a storm. I look great. Somebody claimed
two buttons down on the shirt, by the way.
It was eventually three.
People, yeah, I was going to say that's way higher than I thought it was going
to be. People, this one woman came up to me and said, like, excuse me? And I don't really know much of what she said, but she was yelling at me because she felt like I was purposefully going over to her to, I guess, dance with her. And what I wanted to say was, well, honey, you're not that attractive.
Okay, Pete Rose.
But I didn't say that.
Sorry, babe.
I didn't say that. I could have said that she was ugly, but I didn't because I'm a good guy. Okay, so that was the first one. Second one, some guy was being really creepy with another girl, and I felt the need to stop it.
Yeah, I know you felt the need. Let me just set the scene for you for this one. We're sitting in a section because
yes.
I met a group of really nice guys that were there for a bachelor party. They were cool. They were like, oh, you guys can have some
she
of our drinks.
She makes friends with everybody, by the
I
way.
I do make
it's
friends
ridiculous.
With everybody.
You use them to get to the front of a line.
No.
You know what? I respect the hell out of
no.
them. That was an impressive move.
Thank you. Shout out to our friends from all across the country. Their names I remember none of. But we had a good time with them. And so we're sitting in their section drinking for free. The vibes are good.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you make eye contact with a woman, and Paul's basically like, she's in distress. I must go save her.
I mean, there was a guy behind her who was, like, licking her neck, and she did not look into it. So I just said, hey, do you want to get a shot? And the guy wanted to kill me.
The look that this guy gave Paul, I was like, yeah, you need to walk home with someone.
I got to say, though, like, hey, I don't know, maybe ask before you start licking some rando's neck.
Completely agree.
And then the third squab that
Then you flirted with the girl. Then she came over and sat next to you, and you guys really hit it off.
We talked for a little bit. I felt kind of weird piggybacking off of that moment in time. And then,
yeah, the lick.
And then we got to this bar. This was all in the same place. Maybe this is just a Fremont thing, or maybe it's a me thing. Who knows?
Where, this last one was not in no way, shape, or form your fault.
Look, I'm very good at getting to the front of the bar. I'm a nimble, deft person, and I can get through crowds pretty easily. So I get to the front of the bar, and this guy like says, "Whoa, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm at the bar trying to get a drink." And he said, "Like I was in line," and I said to him, "There's no such thing as that.
That's
not. Have you never been to a bar before?" So then he started trying to push me, and I'm just like standing my ground. And he's smaller than me, so I'm like, "Okay, this is
little
man complex."
Well, the girl was smaller than me too, so I'm like, "You guys are literally trying to talk to two people that are larger than you." I initially tried to defuse the situation, and I was like, "Hey, it's a bar. I used to be a bartender. These things happen." And then his girlfriend was like, "Oh, I used to be a bartender too." And I was like, "Well, then surely you know."
She said, "I have no etiquette."
That there are, she was like, etiquette. So at
She's right about the etiquette on Paul.
But
I'm a southern gentleman.
Eventually, things start picking. Like, so I'm like, okay, we defuse this. Well, then the guy starts talking crap to Paul again. And I'm like, there is going to be a fight. We grabbed our drinks and
I almost did the Patrick Beverly. No, Sean, I did not almost break a bottle.
Break
and
it on the bar.
That's illegal.
Well,
no, what I was thinking of doing when I was walking away is something, because we've seen it so much in the NBA recently where people hold like the hand up, but like it's to imply that the person's shorter. But I don't think that would have ended well.
No, probably not. Although you would have beaten him.
I don't know. I tried my best to not be bad. And yet,
Three.
I found myself around all these situations, so I'm probably the commonality. Yeah, it probably was my fault.
So if you weren't trying to not be bad, you probably would have gotten in at least two of those fights.
Correct.
Yes.
But I will say this, Paul, better dancer than I thought.
Thank you.
And then a woman in the bathroom, they had one of those bathroom attendants, and she tried to fight me because I took a mint and didn't tip her.
Ooh, well.
I'm like, we're supposed to tip people in the bathrooms
now? That's the thing, though. The restroom attendant, I always feel weird. Like, should I not wash my hands?
But I didn't take any perfume. I didn't take any of the hair ties. There was just a bowl of mints that I took. And she was like, "You do not tip me." And I was like, "What?"
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you weren't there for that because I was in the women's bathroom. But
yeah, I just didn't wash my hands the whole night because there was a guy attending. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I don't want to feel like I have to tip you.
It was very, very, very awkward, but a great time in Vegas. I ate like crap. I mean, when I say I need this detox that we're getting, I mean it. No detox needed for the Astros. They were great over the weekend, finally, against the A's. Lance McCullers Jr., I got to tell you, I wasn't expecting much, not because I don't believe in the guy, but because it has been 10 months, and yet he looked fantastic. Six innings, two hits, four walks, no runs, five strikeouts, I believe was the line, if I'm saying it correctly. But either way, just a dominant. It wasn't just about the pitching line. It was his attitude. It was his comfort level, his confidence. It was great to see Lance back out there.
Yeah, four wins in a row for the Astros over the weekend, too. And now 2.5 games up on New York in the AL standings, 13 games up on the Mariners in the AL West. It feels pretty great right now. But I can't lie, Vanessa, while it's exciting to see McCullers back out there and just to feel good about the rotation, the news about Michael Brantley finally coming out into the open, that's a massive bummer. And I'm sure that they tried their best to get outfielders at the trade deadline. And I think Dusty Baker had mentioned that, hey, we were looking for a center fielder. But, man, it's hard to look at the Astros and believe that they weren't aware that Brantley was probably donezo. We're talking about a guy in his mid-30s who suffered a shoulder injury. I think that this is one of those lack of moves, not getting extra outfield depth, that makes you wonder if that will be what ends the season ultimately.
Well, here's the thing, too. He's done he's a free agent, I believe, after this season. So have we seen the last of Michael Brantley in an Astros uniform? Look, I know that he's never been the name. He's never been Correa, Springer. He's one of the most solid hitters on this team. Sounds cliche, but an absolute leader in the clubhouse. Everybody loves him. He's, like you said, mid-30s. He's one of those veteran guys for the Stros. He would definitely be missed if that's the case. And it very frustrating. Very frustrating not to know the diagnosis until later. Very frustrating not to know the level of injury until later. That's kind of how the Astros operate with injuries, so it's on par, right? But it's a bummer.
It is, and we give Dusty Baker a lot of crap for lineups. I think that James Click is worthy of getting more crap from here on out entirely because of this. The lineup is the lineup, but what is Dusty supposed to do when he doesn't have any extra outfield depth? And what is he supposed to do when he maybe knew what the hell was going on with Michael Brantley a while ago and James Click doesn't get him an extra outfielder?
It would be hard to be old school like Dusty and come from franchises and clubs where you're allowed to talk about injury a little bit more openly. And I'm not saying what the Astros do is bad. You could actually argue that it's good and that it provides a little bit of a competitive advantage, but it would be frustrating. And I think that when you look at some of the lineup decisions, the line of thinking, maybe a little bit more clear there. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there was football this weekend. We're talking about that, plus the latest on a quarterback in the NFL. But first, let me tell you about the folks at BUSR. Real football season right around the corner. BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours. The Texans have an over-under set at 4.5 games right now. Maybe you want to go more. Maybe you think that they're going to win less. And the Astros, by the way, you can still get at plus 400. So go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. Hey, maybe you're more of a blackjack guy or a roulette girl. Guess what? You can do that too. The good news for you, all of it. BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Well, the good news is that the Texans won a game. The bad news is the quarterbacks were Andy Dalton and Ian Book. So I'm not really sure what it all means, but the Texans did win their first preseason game, 17-13. It was here at NRG. We got to see a little Mills mania. We got to see a little bit from some of the other guys that we hope will contribute to this Texan squad. But it was good to see actual NFL games being played, and we, of course, got to see it on that nice big screen at Stadium Swim.
Vegas, that part was the best.
Incredible.
Otherwise, though,
over a plate of chicken tenders.
Preseason football's awful, and I'm not going to lie, I missed being able to hear the broadcast of the game because I like to hear my Spencer Tillman random, his, go-to words, saying, man, he got through there like smoke through a keyhole. Or talking about an apple and a roadmap. I don't know. There's just something that's very homey about that part of the broadcast. So couldn't hear what was going on. Really, of all the guys out there, there's not much to, I think, really have strong opinions on other than Dameon Pierce has looked pretty good in training camp. And Dameon Pierce was the best player on the field for the Texans.
No question.
The rookie running back out of Florida. So that's exciting, especially considering the team had such an issue running the football last year. But again, yeah. I mean, really, I want to come away with more. That's all I got for you. Dameon Pierce. I think that they made a good pick with him.
I think Dameon Pierce may be the only one. Hey, we didn't get to see Derek Stingley Jr. We knew ahead of time that we weren't going to get to see Derek Stingley Jr. Obviously, we want to see some improvement from Davis Mills. But other than that, we say, quote, it's just the preseason for a reason. Here are some of the guys that didn't play for the Saints. Jameis Winston, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Michael Thomas, Cam Jordan, right? Tyrann Mathieu. So most of their starters didn't play. Jameis Winston, of course, is dealing with that injury.
Mm-hmm.
Who's somebody from the Texans that you guys are hoping to develop and see a little more of? I'm excited to see what Marlon Mack can do. Sometimes when guys leave a team, in this case he left Indianapolis, and get in a new system, I'm hoping maybe he can become another weapon for Davis Mills, primarily because of what you just talked about. They had one of the worst running back cores last year.
Yeah.
Is there anybody on the roster that's kind of intriguing to you?
Well, Mac's interesting just because, I mean, this is a guy who, 2 years ago tore his Achilles.
Correct.
And you're like, hey, is this guy ever going to be quite the same player? As far as guys that we actually saw out there, because there are so many guys checking into the game, would be interesting to see if Philip Dorsett actually can do something. That's a guy who, a long time ago was a first-round pick. But I think at this point, you are really just, I think, looking for a couple of young players to make a big jump from year one to year two. I don't know. Maybe it's Chris Moore, who the Texans do seem to like a lot. He's very fast. I think he's definitively the fastest player out at practice, at least, compared to anybody else. For those who don't know, he wears number 15, which I think does suit him, given that that's what Will Fuller used to wear. Got to have fast guys wearing 15.
Oh, that's right.
But, Yeah, right now, I'm just hoping that once the regular season starts, that the young players are going to stay on the field and that we're going to get specifically a lot of Petrie and Derek Stingley Jr. Give them the biggest trial by fire that you possibly can.
Sean, is there anybody on this Texans roster that you're hoping to see develop, see a little bit more of?
Yeah, I mean, Nico Collins, if he can become a number one receiver in the NFL. Now, he won't be the number one because Brandon Cooks is here. But if he shows that kind of upside, that'd be huge for Davis Mills or whoever their quarterback is in the future.
Preseason is preseason. And we'll talk about different storylines around the league, different players around the league. Paul, you pointed out a couple days ago that this is actually one of the oldest rosters in the NFL. Here's why that was intriguing to me. When I think of the Texans, quarterback Davis Mills, whatever, this is the second year, and you think about guys like Nico, Derek Stingley Jr., the rookies, but this is a little bit of an older team. And you're right, there is a lot of veteran presence, somewhat with the guys like Philip Dorsett, but Marlon Mack is only, I think, 25, 26 years old, so there are some of those guys. Mark Ingram is obviously back with the Saints now, but Mark Ingram was one of those guys last year looking for a little bit of a career resurgence.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's some storylines among that angle, too.
You take a look at the roster, and it's a bunch of guys that are on one-year deals, prove-its, and you hope that you find some. Generally, though, you're available like this for a reason. And I think the good news is, though, if you do want to see this team actually win more games than expected, say, I don't know, go somewhere where it's legal to gamble on sports and take the Texans over like someone might have done, I feel that you'd be in a pretty good spot doing it this year just because of that. I think some teams go about it where they're going to bring in just as many young players as possible who have not a lot of experience, and it's pretty gross generally. But if you have a couple of guys that are capable, even if they're, you know, not flashy, yeah. I mean, this could be a 6-7 win team. Woo!
I mean, they won four the last season Deshaun Watson played with them. So, I mean, that would be an improvement. Can I interest you in an overly dramatic Peter King article on the Texans? Five things. Reality bites. The Texans won the meaningless summer opener when the bottom 30 guys on their roster beat the bottom 30 on the Saints. But they're not ready for prime time. On the first three snaps of the game, running back Marlon Mack got leveled for a two-yard loss. Then wideout Chris Conley got stopped for a loss of one, blah, 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 blah. You can see how this is going.
This is Peter King?
This is Peter King. But here is what really stood out.
Brian T. Smith. I like Brian T. Smith. But he generally has lots of very colorful prose in his write-ups.
Levy Smith's got 2 years for his patient teaching approach to work. Houston's not going to repeat the one-year run of David Culley last year. There's still a buzz of Josh McCown coaching here at some point hanging over the franchise. Peter King.
Do you buy that?
Here's what I was going to ask. So Peter King used to be very connected to the Texans because he was on really good terms with Bill O'Brien, Amy Palsik, and some of the other folks that were here. Because if you remember, during COVID, he did the exclusive tour of the Texans facilities, and he had gotten a lot of tidbits about the Texans in the past. He is not the only media member that once Bill left, all of a sudden didn't have as good of access. Do you believe this? This is a report, right? Like, there's still a buzz of Josh McCown coaching here at some point hanging over the franchise.
I'd like to say no immediately to that. I feel like if this is a organization that has moved away from Jack Easterby and is moving towards trying to win back public support, which we've seen with these like propaganda photos of Cal McNair. Hey, I cook on a grill just like you guys. I'm an everyman. I like beer too. I roll up my sleeves, as
they're
we talked
trying.
About a couple of days ago.
They're trying.
You know what? And I'll give them credit. They are trying. McCown is not trying. McCown is showing up drunk. McCown is going back to all of the same things that you went to before. I also think, too, it's interesting that they brought that up with Culley specifically. The Culley hire was a failure. It was short-sighted. It made little sense. It was one of those things that you only can rationalize if you're saying, oh, well, like, no one wanted the job, so they just hired
Pull the Vanessa. He was such a nice guy.
And he was a nice guy. But as a coach, ooh. And I feel like the national writers have not let this go.
No, that's a good point.
Should they? That actually is up for debate. I think a lot of us who watched David Culley as head coach of this team last year, we're all in agreement saying, yeah, he wasn't going
to
be the
guy. Tried to navigate his press conferences, yeah. Which in and of itself was a tall task. Zach Wilson may have a tall task, guys, with recovering from an injury.
Oh, wow.
2 to 4 weeks, transition. Maybe more, maybe less. Here's his head coach, Robert Saleh, on Zach Wilson and navigating that situation.
All right, you have a update on Zach.
Yeah, he's on his way to LA to have his procedure, and then we wait.
What are you thinking in terms of time frame?
They'll know more once they get in there. We're optimistic, but he's not out of the woods until they get in there and make the decision.
All right, we had a very devastated Jake Adkins sitting next to me in Vegas on Friday night. I tried to joke around about this. It did not go over well.
I joked around about it.
I believe the response was, you do know I host a YouTube show on the Jets, right, or something like that. And I was like, I didn't know that.
No, he didn't come down for a while. He set up a dinner reservation for us. And it was funny because the night before we had been talking about the Jets and he was talking about some of the optimism that he had for it. And then that happened and... I mean, you know me. Like, I smell blood in the water from a Jets fan. And I was like, oh, damn, dude. So, like, I guess you're going to draft the quarterback first overall this coming year, huh? Well, that's kind of cool. You know? Like, that's not the worst thing in the world. What? A Mormon quarterback's going to work out in New York City? Sure. Fine. That'll you know, a guy that's more focused on having sex with his mother's friends, allegedly, you know, that's always the kind of quarterback that makes it happen for the New York football Jets.
He was very upset, has led to the rumor. Is this the 12th team we've heard Jimmy G connected to?
Yeah.
That Jimmy G could be on his way to the Jets.
Hmm.
I've said it for months now. Jimmy G is going to go wherever there's a quarterback need once a quarterback gets hurt. Is this that time?
The Jets wouldn't make sense because I think you still believe that they're in a rebuild mode. As opposed to win now mode, it makes a lot more sense for Cleveland still. And especially now that Deshaun Watson seems to be accepting the reality of his situation with the state-run interview that he did with the Browns talking about how things are. And we'll talk about that later on in the show. Cleveland's still the one that makes the most sense to me. But I did find it interesting, Vanessa, there was this weird piece that was dropped, and it was almost a smear piece of Jimmy Garoppolo. Essentially, when he signed the extension that he did with the 49ers in 2018, he like just went off the grid and didn't talk to anybody in the 49ers. Like that was it for like weeks. And they were like, what? What's up with Jimmy G? And I guess they felt like he wasn't as dedicated or something like that. It's a weird timing for an article like that to come out.
That's a great point. Somebody leaked it.
Yeah.
I think it was Diana Russini this morning on ESPN that says he's not even in the quarterback room for meetings. No. It's like basically like he's not on the team anymore.
But it is a situation too where if he's there, it's going to be awkward for
Correct.
Trey Lance, who I guess looked snazzy.
Hey.
One play Trey. Yeah.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are going around the NFL as we are 24 days away from kickoff of the regular season. The biggest stories, that's coming up next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, I think the number is 24. We're not good at math, but we believe that the number is 24 until the NFL regular season kicks off. And, oh, man, are we excited at Vanessa and Gallant. Let's go to our jersey picker consultant, Paul Gallant.
A lot of good corners for this one. First, you have Champ Bailey. You have Charles Woodson. You have my guy, Ty Law, terrorizer of Peyton Manning, 3 interceptions in 1 playoff game.
A strong list.
Willie Wood, who was a noted trash-talking corner back in the day as well. So, yeah, there you go. Number 24, everybody.
24, a great number, and it's certainly better than the 100 and those types of numbers that we were seeing when we started this segment. Let's talk about the Jags-Browns game. So, as you all know, Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended at least 6 games. We think it's going to be more, but as it stands right now, he is still eligible to play in the preseason. So the Browns capitalized on that. And the Jaguars fans, Jaguars came up with a chant, "You sick bleep.
You sick bleep. You sick bleep. Bleep. You sick bleep." Yes, they did this
in
the broadcast.
It was incredibly loud.
Yes.
And here's the thing about Jags fans. Jags fans have no shame. These are the people, by the way, that wore clown masks at the end of the season to their own games because the Jags were so bad, which led to Jim Irsay saying on Pat McAfee, "We got beat by people that were wearing clown masks." They have no shame. So this is...
Yeah, they wear jorts into the pool that they have up in the elevated level. Not even bathing suits.
So I'm not surprised this happened. And I think that whenever Deshaun comes back, this is going to be what we see at every single stadium.
Oh, def. Yeah. And it's funny. The NFL thinks that this is going to go away. They have to know that the best way to prevent this is to suspend the guy. Because do you want this to be the subject of conversation for every single game? What, you're going to mute the crowd? Are you going to mute the crowd every single time something like this takes place?
Browns player Joel Bitonio said, quote, "It's Cleveland against the world. We'll be ready for it.
Wow, you're so cool, dude.
Incredibly awkward thing to say.
I've been getting very mad just watching the coverage of this coming out of Cleveland. There's some blowhard named Garrett Bush who works at, I think, 92.3
The You've Fan. Been scoffing at his tweets for a while.
It's been months.
Fire some of them off.
It's been months, and one just popped up, and I retweeted it. And just read how blowhard this stupid thing is. And it's like weirdly trying to be condescending. The Browns locker room and team is 100% behind Deshaun Watson. Some fans and media might not understand that. You would have to talk to the players in the locker room to get it, which I have. So a little Josina Anderson. Josina, by the way, he's basically been kissing the ass of every tweet that she sent out covering the Deshaun Watson saga. Those who have spent most of their adult lives in high-level sports understand why. So like a humble brag flex at the end from a grade A blowhard idiot that's been covering the Browns with zero bias at all. Awful seeing that. This idea that people are going to look at it as outside versus you as a team. No, it's outside versus Deshaun Watson, your quarterback, who's not even going to be available for the first year. Is the locker room really going to be behind a quarterback who's not actually able to play? How long does that last?
I always say with the roster with the Browns, this is a win-now roster. So this is not a, if Deshaun Watson comes back in a year, this roster will be in great shape. I don't know. It may still be in decent shape, but this is a win-now team. This is not a kick-the-can-down-the-road team. Again, no. I'll say it. I said it before, said it again. The Browns took a major gamble, and they might have lost. Quarterback competition in Carolina. Could it be heating up? Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold both played. What was your assessment?
I don't want to watch Sam Darnold ever play football again. I want him out of the league. It's funny that they're going through the semantics of saying this is actually a competition. It's Mayfield's job, and Darnold is a quarterback that is just too careless for my taste. And the only perk that is ever brought up about him is like, oh, he's not as old as you think he is. Cool. We've seen all we need to see of Sam Darnold.
Matt Rhule, quote, "I'm going to have to watch the tape to see exactly what they did, but I thought they were both in command." Baker Mayfield, by the way, 4 of 7 for 45 yards while leading the team to a field goal to open the game. Sam Darnold checked in after defense forced a fumble and threw a touchdown pass.
Uh-oh.
2 of 3, 16 yards overall.
Damn, I mean, it's preseason. But he had the touchdown pass. He had that touchdown pass.
Quote, "in command" via Matt Rhule.
The command.
Tom Brady's absence is something Sean and I were talking about before the show. When it was first announced that he was taking a leave of absence and that abstinence, what?
A leave of absence. Hell yeah, dude. That'll work.
I was concerned because I thought it was something with one of his children. Well, then Todd Bowles says this was pre-planned before the season. So obviously it's not some huge medical emergency. He's out for at least 10 days, and the only reason, quote, personal reasons.
But it's not his family. That's the other clarification
or
that they've added.
Or family member's health.
Right. Like, so they've added small qualifiers and clarifications along the way, and it's just looking messier
because
and messier.
Because they made it sound like it was really bad.
They did.
You know what it was?
What?
Plastic surgery.
How dare you?
His forehead doesn't move.
So?
His eyelids look like the eyelids of a 20-year-old.
What? You're going to act like Botox is out of the conversation?
He's gotten a thinner face over the years.
He works out.
He's gorgeous, mm-hmm. but he's gotten more gorgeous. That jawline is immaculate.
Yeah?
Maybe hair plugs? I don't know.
I don't know either. What I do know is what he does on his own time is his time.
Agree.
And that the
look
Bucks,
at him getting defensive.
This
over
is
Bay.
The Bucks messing this up. Look, if the Bucks just said, "Yeah, he's taking a leave of absence," does anyone care? Instead, they tried to sneak it out and are continuing to give like small extra details, which I guess they think will accommodate all the people that are wondering why the hell he isn't there.
I want to know who came up with the wording.
Because leave of absence.
The person who came up with the wording is the one that really deserves to get in trouble.
Who hasn't needed a sabbatical for your personal health?
Yeah,
your mental health.
Kyler Murray, we know he plays video games. We know he likes to complain about clauses and contracts. But can he call plays? We remember a couple weeks ago Cliff Kingsbury saying that Kyler Murray thinks it's easier than it is. And he had him put his money where his mouth is and call some plays at the end of the game.
Guess how many yards in the three drives that Kyler Murray called plays?
How many?
Guess.
Same amount of fights you were in, three.
No, -2 yards.
Help.
Three drives, -2 yards. Incredible. I think they lost 8 yards of the first drive.
Cliff kept it classy. Quote, he called a couple really nice plays. It just didn't work out.
Again, this is another situation where what is the benefit to the Cardinals? There's a benefit to me and you talking about this. This is hilarious to sit back and watch. But after a passive-aggressive war that Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals had, let's throw more possible drama into the mix with a weird clause in a contract. Let's throw more drama into the mix by having Murray run the offense for a couple of series. This is delightful to watch.
Someone in the franchise is determined to embarrass him. I don't know who it is. But it's the same person that leaked out the very specific deals of a contract to Adam Schefter that never get leaked out. It's the same person that told Cliff Kingsbury, hey, you should have him do plays. Somebody's out to get him. Josh Allen, out to get adults. Josh Allen does not like people that are over a certain age asking for autographs.
I don't either.
He told the Buffalo News, quote, I try to just sign for the kids. There's some, you hate to see it and you know it. You can tell it's not their item. It is what it is, but I pick out the kids. I do apologize to the adults. Kids are kind of what makes this go. I remember being that kid.
Yeah. Kids should be the only people that get autographs. I'm sorry. You look like a giant doofus, a giant dork if you're going up to somebody and like asking, hey, can you sign my towel, Deshaun Watson?
I think it's about the delivery too. Like the adults that are pushing children out of the way, the adults that are like,
understandable, but right.
It's just weird.
It's just very weird.
It goes back to like what Robert Flores always says, adults bringing big gloves to Major League Baseball games.
But autographs, I think, is worse than the glove guy.
Why is that?
I think the glove guy, at the very least, you could theoretically defend somebody if you have a baseball mitt on that a ball's coming to them. At least there's like the off chance where you could be helpful.
Or you have a kid who also is wearing a glove, so it's like a dad son thing.
Yeah.
I think there are some room for that to be inbounds. I think if you're a parent that's using your kid to get an autograph for your man cave,
weird.
That's the like absolute rock bottom for this.
Or if you're one of those, and I feel 100% comfortable calling them all losers that are into the sports like memorabilia, like where it's signed and I got the rookie card and I got, you know, it's one of one and you're a loser.
There are some
people who are into it though, and it makes a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of losers are into it.
A lot of NFL players will only do personalized autographs because then you can't sell it as easily.
That's the only way it should be. Yeah. It should be about your experience meeting that person. Like that's why The coolest thing I have is a blown up picture of me and Larry Bird before my first Boston Celtics game when I was 5 years old. Like, I didn't even come up to his hips. His hands are like bigger than my head. He was nice. He said, "Hey, Paul, you gonna scream a cheer?" Before the game, I was super pumped. And then we got it autographed and signed, and it was great. It was
That's
so
what
cool.
It should be.
It shouldn't be about like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get this because its value is gonna go up years from now,
adults,
and I can sell it.
Weird adults ruin everything. Coming up on Vanessa yes. and Gallant, big deal or no big deal penalties in the preseason, plus double dipping. Is that a big deal? Paul and I have very different opinions on that. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I did shower this morning, and I did put on deodorant.
Congrats.
Thank God we all did, because it is hot in here.
I kind of feel like I shouldn't have. Generally, when I find myself showering for something that I'm ultimately going to sweat in, I think to myself, you know what? No. I'm not going to.
You're glistening a little bit.
I did shower this morning.
I did shower too.
Shaved.
We're rolling along.
Tried to get the bags out from underneath my eyes.
Very hot Monday. Our studio does not have air conditioning, so if I pass out, you know why. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
She's
Paul
really
Gallant,
not thrilled with this.
Sean Mapes.
Apparently it was worse this morning.
I cannot even imagine, because I am sweating right now. I'm not going to tell you guys what I said at the break, but it was gross.
The desk like that I sit to prep at was like warm to the touch when I first got here. And I was like, this is not good.
Listen, we're
and it is not our boss's fault. It is the building. We should make that very clear.
The building
clear.
Management. We do not see eye to eye.
I'm going to go Karen on them if this doesn't get better. Because,
can we put that on the air?
Absolutely. I'll even do the haircut.
You get a Karen haircut too? Gonna dye blonde?
I'll go all in.
Gonna look like Aquaman.
I think there's a salon somewhere in our little strip.
There probably is. There's a Botox place. There's a dry cleaning place. There's a Korean coffee shop. So I'm sure there's a place that I could get the Karen haircut. But I digress. We're hot, but we are keeping the energy alive. The Cowboys played a preseason game, by the way, against the Broncos, one of many over the weekend. And last year's most penalized team in the NFL, back at it. 17 penalties for 129 yards as the Cowboys fall 17-7. Here's one Mike McCarthy, who did his best job of deflecting after the game.
This is really the starting point that you go through every year. So this is preseason. I don't think this has anything to do with last year. I mean, obviously, you guys get to write what you want, but it's a starting point.
How could you say it has nothing to do with last year?
When you were the most penalized team in the NFL. Good question.
I mean, you ended the season with a lot of dumb mistakes in a season where there are a lot of dumb mistakes. You're the commonality. Yeah, we're talking about a preseason game featuring lots of players who are never going to play in an actual NFL game. But at the same time, you spent the majority of that long, weird press conference you did where Jerry Jones kept on cutting you off to answer questions and long rambling.
And held up the draft night sheet?
Yeah, there's been so many bad Jerry Jones moments. Jones is getting up there in age, and Father Time catches up with all of us. But in this situation, if you are a team that is being that bad penalty-wise, and this is your first show, you could say it's just the first game, it's the dress rehearsal, but Mike McCarthy's the problem, and I mean, you're just delaying the inevitable with him as head coach going into this year. Who is actually excited about Mike McCarthy as a head coach? And there's nothing against him. It's not like he's a bad coach. He won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, but he's not a great coach. And you feel like you could do better. And you feel like the details, the fine print, is always what gets screwed up with Dallas, regardless of coach. So why have a guy like this where, I mean, clearly it doesn't seem like it's going to improve. Yes, it's the preseason. 17 is a lot of penalties. Like, that's very sloppy.
It's tons. And here's the thing. If you were not the most penalized team in the NFL last season, then you know what? Maybe you could look at reporters and say, well, you guys can write what you want. Reporters are writing that it's a big deal because it was something that was an Achilles heel. And they weren't in a hard division last year, and they still couldn't get it done.
No.
So it is a big deal. Mike McCarthy, I think, knows he's on borrowed time. I don't know how he was able to swindle this job. I know that he did the whole, like, me and my buddies go to a campsite, what do they call it, Camp McCarthy, and do nothing but consume football for 3 months, and that somehow impressed Jerry Jones, and he got this gig.
I think Mike McCarthy has good people skills, and I think he charmed Jerry Jones, yes.
You think he has good people skills?
I do.
See, he doesn't come across to me as somebody that has good people skills.
Every press conference, he is so low energy and like bumbling that he's like a failed politician.
What do you have to be high energy to be a people person? I mean, I'm high energy. I think some people are probably turned off by it.
Yeah.
I would say
there were three people at the bar that were turned off.
Yeah. Also, talk about commonalities. Hey, Mike McCarthy, you're the commonality. Paul Gallant. Yeah. And the commonality between are you the most penalized ESPN 97.5 host?
Well, I have been penalized before for throwing a mouse at a trash can that hit a glass window in studio. So I was penalized in that. Like I didn't make any money with a paycheck around Christmas time. That was
Yikes.
That was unfortunate.
But how did Mike McCarthy...
Well-deserved, though.
This is just not the person that you think Jerry Jones is going to stick with long-term, and I think he knows he's on borrowed time. Either way...
He is. This is a terrible start. I mean,
it is a big deal.
Even if you're not playing your board players at the game, good God,
meanwhile,
dude, 17?
Your defense struggled. Dak isn't living up to what people want Dak to live up to, as Paul Gallant has mentioned several times before, so... We'll see, but not a good start for the Cowgirls.
Ooh, you called him that. You called him that.
I did.
You
it
did.
It was the thing that came out of my mouth.
Is that allowed still? Is that sexist?
Oh, God.
To me, it's not an insult.
I'm a woman, so I can say
it.
She
can call them Cowgirls. You can't.
Correct.
It's 2022. Get with it.
Uh-uh. All right, I had a major moment in Vegas.
Oh, you got so mad about this.
Let me walk you through this.
More mad about this than you are about the air conditioning. That's
correct.
For sure. You're
correct.
Pissed.
Correct. So we're at a cabana.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a shared cabana.
Yes.
So it is not just us. It is a couple of other people from different radio stations across the country. Cool. Circa had amazing food.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really
chicken
good poolside
like
food.
Very spicy chicken tenders.
Yes, spicy chicken tenders. They had great fruit platters with a dip that tasted like dessert.
Well,
it was a great experience.
I had nothing healthy the whole weekend.
Lobster corn dogs, by the way.
Hmm.
They had some really good food. So there are some folks from a different station. And I witnessed...
Not a competing station.
Not a competing station.
We're surprised that they had a station.
Yeah, correct. And I don't know. So this guy takes a chicken tender, eats the chicken tender while he's talking to me, so he knows I can see him, takes the open part of the chicken tender, puts it in the ketchup, and double dips.
But by open part, the part where he had bit, right? Or was this just an open tender?
No, the part where he had bit.
So,
and I look at him and I went...
I don't know, that's a power move.
It's the grossest thing. There's an entire Seinfeld episode about whether or not you should double dip. You should not, under any circumstances, double dip an open part where your mouth has been. I had a chicken tender in my hand that I was about to dip in the ketchup. And you know what I did? I went, well, nice to meet you, and threw the chicken tender away.
Oh, wow.
And walked out.
You wasted
because
food.
I thought it was disgusting.
They're starving children. And you,
Paul didn't think it was that big of
a
deal.
I mean, look, it's gross, but I think at the same time...
It's egregious.
It's ketchup. I mean...
It's disgusting. Sean, be the tiebreaker.
The guy was very... I will say that the idea of watching him eat is not aesthetically pleasing.
He didn't project cleanliness?
No, he was a fat slob. I mean, and look, there's lots of people like that out there. There's nothing wrong with that. But he was, Vanessa. I'm describing the guy to a T. I'm like, okay, this guy like clearly thinks that he's in his own home. I'm surprised he didn't stick his hand down his waistband like he's Al Bundy watching TV on the couch.
That last part is actually what I want to. You're not at your own home, and here's the thing: I'm not acting like I have spectacular manners. Okay, I'm not acting like I'm the girl that you could take to Steak 48, and I would know what the hell to do with myself and what fork to use and what. I'm not pretending that. But you are not at your own home. Wash your hands. Don't double dip. Use a napkin. Don't wipe grease on the cabana couches. It was a lot. And yes, it's a big deal. And yes, you should be fined.
She was so mad about it.
That's just how they do it in Des Moines or wherever this guy's from.
You're not far off.
Oh,
I'm
correct
from
state.
Omaha?
I'm from
Terre Haute. Iowa City?
I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana. And I know not to double dip.
Well, in
Zero
Cedar Rapids,
excuses.
They don't do that.
Zero excuses.
You guys, interesting.
I was
After a nice round of meth in Terre Haute, hey, we're gonna get some chicken tendies.
Yeah, but you know what? We might do meth, but we don't double dip. Like, we have manners.
Also, when you started the story, I thought Paul was gonna be the double dipper.
Absolutely not.
And then when you explained that it was a guy from another radio station, I was like, oh wow, this makes complete sense.
So she was so mad about it, and I just decided to pour gasoline on. I was like, oh, it's not that
he
bad.
Was like, literally, Vanessa, it doesn't matter that much, making me so mad in the pool.
It's something that's like gross, but I don't know. I don't know that I would think twice about it afterwards.
You're insane.
They should have had more ketchup. Like, they only had the one little ketchup.
No, he just shouldn't double dip an open part where your saliva has been.
No, I think what Paul's saying is that they should have more ketchup container.
There should have been more ketchup container.
Oh, instead of making people use.
Because I think, honestly, someone brought this up on the Twitch. I think this makes sense. Everyone should have their own little personalized dip thing.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Also, I think there's a difference. Like, this guy, out of bounds, in my opinion.
Thank
Not
you.
In the good way. In the bad way.
But
I do think that there's levels to it of, like, if it's family, if it's, like, friends that you know, like, really well, it's not as egregious as if someone I know really well double dips in front of me, like, I don't care.
Here's the code, though. If it's somebody that you know really well, they should still do the opposite side of the Tinder
that is like A+. That's how
Correct.
They coach you.
Yes.
But
Correct.
I'm saying, like, what he did is like a 15-yard penalty. The other one's like a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, just very weird. Don't double dip. Don't be disgusting.
I think there should have been more than just ketchup available, too.
There was mustard. There was ranch.
Yeah, well, where's the barbecue sauce? Chicken tenders.
I'm a big honey mustard gal. Yeah, don't double dip. You can ask Paul. It was probably the maddest I got on the entire trip about anything.
So mad. She's like, I can't believe he did that. And I was like, well, I mean, he double dipped.
Paul probably thought somebody, like, that I witnessed a murder.
Yeah, I thought something bad happened.
Up.
Like the thing I stopped on Saturday night.
Yeah, the only time
White
I saw
night.
Paul more mad was when a girl tried to fight him. All right, coming
up. I do not understand. Like, I actually asked her, like, I have no idea what you're saying. You're mad? Like, what is going on?
Well, you know what's
happening?
You may fight people at bars. I fight people over chicken tenders. We are not the same.
No, we're not. We're
coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little Astros recap. Plus, there was a quarterback who played in the preseason, and he was not impressive. We're talking about that next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Hello.